The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on this beautiful July 30th. Kind of hot outside. Yes, it is. But we're on the inside, and we're ready with a great show for you folks. Got some great guests. So let me tell you real quick who they are so that we can get into the show. First of all, we've got a very special guest for the first time. Matt Schlapp. Matt is the chairman of CPAC. And of course, many of you know that next week, CPAC is having its Texas convention in Dallas. I plan to be there with several of my buddies. And we're looking forward to that. Matt Schlapp is an old friend from the Washington days. I remember when he was a real young whippersnapper. But anyway, so Matt will be our first guest. He's going to chat about what CPAC is up to and what they plan for their event. Then we've got Mr. Rodney Scott. Rodney is the former national president, or the former national director of the Border Patrol. He was the Border Patrol chief for the nation. And he is now working with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He's going to be chatting with us about what the heck needs to happen, my friends. What is going on with the... give us an update about what's going on at the border. Because, my friends, it is out of control. It is absolutely out of control. Then we've got Mr. Bob Bishop. Bob Bishop is a local citizen journalist here in San Antonio. And he has dug into what is happening at the migrant center that San Antonio has put together. For those of you that don't know, there are several migrant centers that have been organized across the Southwest in Texas. And the purpose of these places is to process, whatever that means, all of the illegal aliens that are crossing the border. Well, of course, in San Antonio, they expected a smaller number than what they're getting. They expected maybe 100 a week. At this point, it looks like they've got probably 100 a day coming into San Antonio. The place is overrun. The place is completely chock full of folks. Many of them don't know where they're going, what they're doing. It is a real disaster. That's why FEMA is funding it, but it is an absolute disaster. We have gone out there and we've interviewed some people, and it's really, really sad to talk to these illegal aliens, but all of them will tell you that the reason they're here, my friends, is because they feel that they are being invited by this government. They don't say the Biden government, but that's what they mean. You know, I've asked them, well, why didn't you come before, i.e. during the Trump administration? Well, it wasn't very inviting at that point, was it? And, you know, this is the headache that we've got. Our final guest is Sheriff Mike Lewis. Sheriff Mike Lewis is from Wicomico County, Maryland, on the eastern shore of Maryland, and right up against the Atlantic Ocean on the other side of Washington, D.C. And Sheriff Lewis is very, very active in going all over the country to talk about the illegal immigration problem, because it impacts his community as well. So he's going to be chatting about the fentanyl problem that we've got, the fentanyl problem that we're facing. So, folks, thank you for joining us today. I hope that you will call your friends and tell them to listen in. We really, really appreciate everyone's support. So without further ado, let's go to our first guest, Chairman of CPAC, Matt Schlapp. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got a new guest with us, Mr. Matt Schlapp, who is the chairman of CPAC. He has been very, very involved in conservative politics since his days in college for almost 30 years. We don't want to say how old he was. He was 12 years old when he started. So, Matt, thank you very, very much. It's an honor to chat with you. Tell us first of all about CPAC, what it's about, and then what you guys are concentrating on, what you've been up to.
Well, CPAC is the largest political conference in the world, and it takes place in America, and it's going to take place in Dallas next week at the Anatole Hotel. If folks want to go, they should go to conservative.org, our website, and get tickets. They're very affordable, and you're going to hear all the great conservative leaders you want to hear from right now as we try to take back our country.
Yes, I plan to be there at one of the booths and with the media, so I'm hoping to maybe meet you in person. We met a long, long time ago, but I'd like to get to know you again. What issues are going to be at the front at your meeting?
You know, I think the biggest issue is the election, right? It's this idea that we've been brainwashed, or the attempted brainwash or manipulation, over the fact that, you know, America has rejected the idea that kids should be brought up in families, and they've rejected this idea that schools should stay out of politics, and they've rejected this idea that the government should get out of the way of most things in our life, and, you know, and that the American people have accepted this idea that the Constitution was great 240 years ago, but, you know, it's no longer at play, and we should just let smart elite judges that go to Ivy League schools set our laws. And, you know, this is just the path America's on. And obviously we want abortion not only through all 9 months paid for by taxpayers, but as they introduced in Virginia, the post-birth abortion, the keep the baby comfortable after the baby is born abortion, and then, you know, women and pastors and doctors can decide to execute that child. This is the America that they think we've accepted, and I think the America that I know, the America that I grew up with in Kansas and Houston, Texas, and the places I grew up is saying no, that we completely reject that. It's a small minority on the radical left that's trying to take over this country in a coup. That's actually what the big lie is the fact that they're trying to convince a majority of Americans that they're the ones who are a tiny minority, and they just need to sit down and shut up and let the progressives take over everything. And I'm very excited the American people have finally woken up to this battle, and they're going to show the Democrats the door in November.
Now, one of the things that seems to be a very, very difficult thing to do is, or to overcome for many folks, is the brainwashing that goes on through the news media. I mean, even this morning I was listening how they're redefining what a recession is. You know, they forced us to redefine what an illegal alien is. Now that everybody, all of them are migrants. How do we address this?
Well, we have to stop going along with it. It was like, you know, they redefined marriage, they're redefining gender, they're redefining everything. And within a modern context, you know, I have no problem with, fully putting on the table all the complicated issues in society, but don't redefine words. Words matter, and that's what the Constitution and Western civilization is built on, a common understanding of what words mean, and then teaching that to the next generation. And we've completely lost that. So why is the Biden administration trying to redefine the word recession? Is they're trying to tell people they actually shouldn't be feeling the pain that they're feeling. That's essentially what they're trying to say. And then they're trying to say, well, the reason why gas prices have tripled is because of Vladimir Putin and because of his aggression, and nothing to do with the Green New Deal, even though the Green New Deal has as part of its central tenet the American people paying $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon for motor fuel. So we have to stop going along, and we have to call out their lies. The entire Democratic Party and socialist movement is based on propaganda and lies, and don't go along with it anymore. And tell your kids they shouldn't go along with it either, else we're going to lose the country.
You know, there seems to be a lack of focus sometimes on what is on local politics, because you know, we worry about what's happening in D.C. and we don't worry about what's happening in our at city hall or at the county seat. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think we've made a couple of mistakes as a Republican Party. We had a lot of smart people who were running things, and they were so into targeting that, you know, our money would only flow to certain states. And what ended up happening is that our position really atrophied in states that we thought were really solid. And we didn't put enough money in states that were blue, but we really could have flipped if we showed them we cared. And so I think a little less targeting, or a targeting that has more of a long-term strategy, would make a lot of sense. Part of that targeting is we've kind of convinced all of our donors to kind of like give away all the local elections to the Democrats and George Soros, and at least we'll hold on to a majority in the House and Senate and try to win the White House every other time, and then we'll be fine. Well, that was a terrible strategy, because they're destroying our communities with these prosecutors, with the school boards, with the election commissioners that helped, that went along with the crimes around voter fraud, the prosecutors that are going along with this idea of putting violent felons back on our streets and saying that if you're not for putting violent felons in jail, if you're for that, somehow you're racist, right? Because they're going to say it's going to disproportionately affect people of color. Crime, I don't care the color of the person that commits a crime or the person or the victim of the crime. I care about the victim, and I want the person who perpetrated that crime to be punished. I don't care about the colors. And I think that's what the American people are. They're just tired of everything going through this filter of race. We had slavery. We've had terrible bouts of mostly Democratic orchestrated structural racism in this country. And the Republican Party was founded to make it all stop. And now the Republican Party allows itself to be on defense on questions of race. And they need to stop that. They need to learn the history. And they need to blame the Democrats for a lot of this animosity. And then we got to come together as a country and try to actually become a better place, and to grow, and to raise a generation of Americans who love and will defend this country. I am so worried if we really got attacked, if we'd even have enough people to care to put on our uniform and defend this country.
That's very, very true. You know, it seems like what I use the term the poverty industry that has flourished since the 1960s, since the war on poverty. The poverty industry seems to have taken hold of people, and you know, I mean, for the sake of the industry, they don't they don't talk to them about the American dream and lifting them out, getting them out of poverty.
Well, my wife and I have this conversation all the time. Her parents came from Cuba. Before that, their families had been in Spain, and you know, we have this conversation. There were people who came to this country speaking other languages and having other customs, but they wanted to be Americans. They wanted to, even if they weren't going to be citizens, they wanted to help contribute to a country that saved their lives and gave their children hope and allowed them to grow their families and make something of themselves. And when you have when you have millions of people coming in over our southern border, who their very first lesson is that you can break the law in America, what's next?
Exactly.
Why are we teaching them that? And then the other thing is that if they're coming here for economic reasons but not for moral reasons, we're going to be doomed as a country over time, because the reason why America has succeeded is that people loved the moral birthright of the country, which was you could come here, doesn't matter how rich you are, doesn't matter if you're father was an earl or a duke or whatever that crap is, you know, and you could make something of yourself. You could open up a dry cleaner or open up a bodega. You could become a millionaire, and we wouldn't tax the hell out of you, and we'd let you raise your kids as you want. That's the American dream that we used to teach, and now it's not that we just don't teach it. We are hostile to it in our schools, and that has to stop.
Yep. It seems like the whole idea of being an economically independent individual seems to be going out the window. We've got only about a minute to go. Give us again. Tell the folks where they are, what's going to be happening with the conference, and how they can participate, and where they can follow the American Conservative, the CPAC, how they can contribute and support you.
Go to conservative.org, our website. The tickets are very affordable. The student tickets are really cheap. It's a three-day conference. President Trump will be there. Jim Jordan will be there. Texas's own Ted Cruz and and Attorney General Paxton and Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Patrick will all be there. Lots of these great new candidates like Mayor Flores, who just won that special election, will be there. You know, the conservative leaders you love, the people on TV you love, like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, will be there. So it's a who's who of conservatives. It's the beginning of the big red wave. It all starts next week in Dallas, Texas, where we're going to send a message to all these elites and all these big broken blue bankrupt cities that we're going to take back this country. We're going to take it back from them, and we're going to begin to restore constitutional order and let the people decide where this country's going. Come be a part of that. Get charged up. Figure out how you can dial in to how to save your country.
You got it. Thank you very, very much. We've been speaking with our good friend, Mr. Matt Schlapp, who is chairman of CPAC. Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
All right. Thank you, George. Thanks for letting me be on with you, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
You got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez at Conservador talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you on KLUP 930 AM radio here in San Antonio. And we've got a good friend of ours, Mr. Rodney Scott, talking to us all the way from California. And he is the former Border Patrol chief, recently retired. And I wanted to reach out to him because, I mean, he's been on the front lines. And he also was here in South Texas not too long ago for a meeting with the counties when they were asking for a declaration of invasion. And as well as I've run into him on other occasions as well. Rodney, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. Give us your assessment of this situation on the border now, particularly with these Texas counties asking for a declaration of invasion, as well as what the Biden administration continues to do with policies along the border.
Yeah, I think it's up to like eight counties now, and I think what you're seeing and hearing, what I believe you're seeing and hearing, is the frustration of the county officials at the federal government's complete and total lack of enforcing any kind of border security. And the state is doing, I believe the governor and the state is doing all they can short of declaring an actual invasion, you know, under Article 1, Section 10. But that's almost like the nuclear option, if you will. But I don't see any leeway here. I don't see the current administration changing their policies. The conversations I'm having with people, they're still 100% focused on expediting the processing of individuals and then just basically releasing them into the United States as quickly as possible. As long as that funnel stays on, that's going to give the cartels these hundreds of thousands of people a month to use as cover to smuggle in narcotics, criminals, and I believe 56 people that are caught. We're not even talking about the gotaways. 56 people that U.S. Border Patrol has caught this last year have been on the terrorist watch list. So all those threats are mixed in. The locals see it every single day right in their face. Looks like the mayor of Washington, D.C. and mayor of New York are starting to experience just a tiny fraction of what the border communities are seeing. But it's frustration all the way around.
Here in San Antonio, they established the city established a migrant center. They expected to do maybe 100 every day, assisting 100 migrants every day as they went to other communities, as they flew or drove to other communities. However, 100 has turned into 1,000 in 1 week. A daily enrollment of almost 1,000 migrants that are coming into the city. This is a tsunami. This is not a trickle. This is not a few people that are coming in anymore.
No, not at all. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people get lost on the numbers. We've been talking about these numbers of over 200,000 a month, or in context, 6,000 to 8,000 people a day that U.S. Border Patrol is putting hands on. Encountering, if you will. But at some point, those numbers start to lose meaning until people actually see that volume of people, until cities like you know, New York and Washington, D.C., actually see their homeless shelters completely overfilled and people sleeping on the streets. And there's nothing humane about that. This administration tries to say this is a more humane border policy. It is not. They're fueling the cartels, and it's just very frustrating all the way around.
We interviewed some of the migrants that were out there. I interviewed some of them the other day that at the migrant center. And, you know, they are by no means do they fit the definition of asylum. I mean, these folks are all economic refugees, and they seem to have a very, very strong hope that they're going to be able to stay in the United States. I mean, it's going to be tough to tell these people no, that they don't qualify.
So there's two big problems there, and you're 100% right. But this administration is basically lying to them. The smugglers are lying to them. Everybody's lying to them and telling them that they can come. And then but when they get to the border, they believe those lies are true because they're processed and released into the country fairly quickly. But statistics show, and my experience also tells me, that they don't meet the classification. They do not meet the criteria for asylum. This administration also knows that. But they also know they will be ordered deported, but less than 1% traditionally ever actually get deported or leave the country. The process takes so long. They'll get so many extensions and so many exemptions. By the time they get to the final processes, they'll have roots established here in the United States. And this, everybody, I wouldn't say everybody in this administration, but I will say Secretary Mayorkas is fully aware of how this process works, how the system works, and what the real true deportation numbers are at the end, and they're facilitating this. So by law, they'll end up illegally in the United States, but the chances of them actually being tracked down and deported, especially with an administration like the one we currently have, that they don't believe being in the U.S. illegally in and of itself is worthy of an ICE response and any enforcement action, they're going to be allowed to stay.
Yeah. Well,
will be illegal once they're ordered deported in 6 to 7 years from now.
Well, and the situation, again, that my understanding is that even ICE has been told that they've got limited function at this point. I mean, they're not acting on their mission as well. Is that true?
I believe that is very true. I just actually talked to a colleague of mine this morning that's still in ICE. A lot of their fugitive operations teams that are supposed to be out seeking out people that have been ordered deported have been reassigned to process, help Border Patrol and others process the immigration cases that are currently pending. And I don't mean the whole case. I mean just the initial immigration administrative processes. They've been told that if they go out and do a arrest warrant, if you will, on somebody that does meet the very limited criteria of this administration of being a threat and worthy of deportation, that they're not supposed to arrest anybody else that they find accidentally, even in the same house, happens to be illegal. So they're literally being ordered to ignore illegal activity right in front of them. And that is a huge morale challenge, and it's really a huge ethical challenge for them. But for the most part, it's avoided because this administration has them processing administrative cases and not looking for the real threats to this country.
Incredible. Let me ask you this one last question, because I understand that the morale of the Border Patrol agents has been, you know, I can understand that it's been very low. And now with this recent situation with the disciplinary action against the guys in Del Rio, the folks in Del Rio that were accused of whipping the Haitian migrants, does it continue to be low? Is it, what can be done to help these guys?
There's a whole new definition of low. So I encourage any of your listeners to actually read the report that CBP released on that investigation. They released it, at least part of it publicly. And this is what I want them to focus on. Not only were the original allegations against the Border Patrol agents completely unsubstantiated, they were false. The administration chose, because the president, in my belief, the president and others already crucified the agents, they had to find something. So what they're going after, if you read closely, they're disciplining Border Patrol agents for trying to stop people from entering the country illegally, which is a crime, 8 U.S.C. 1325, and we were prosecuting people every prior administration for illegally entering the United States illegally. But yet the findings of CBP challenge the Border Patrol's authority to even ride the horses back and forth on the border and to try to deter illegal activity. So it's not just the Border Patrol that's under assault. It's actually America currently under assault, and our ability to even define our borders or to defend our borders in any way. Because if a Border Patrol agent is going to be disciplined for going where he was assigned by his supervisors and trying to stop illegal activity right in front of him, what do we expect him to do?
Yeah.
And that's all right. That's all right in that report. I believe our sovereignty is being challenged in a way it's never been challenged before, and it's being challenged internally.
Amazing, amazing. Rodney, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. Folks, we've been speaking with Rodney Scott, the former National Chief of Border Patrol. We will be back in touch with you, my friend, and hopefully you'll be back in Texas so you can we can meet up again.
I will definitely do both, and I appreciate you keeping the truth out there. Transparency will help people make informed decisions.
You got it. Thank you very much. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you on KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got a new guest with us, Mr. Bob Bishop, who is a writer, a reporter. And I wanted him to come on our show because he's found out some important stuff regarding the Migrant Center here in San Antonio. Now, this is local politics at its worst, in my opinion. Not only that, but it's also regarding the illegal alien invasion that we've got going on. Bob, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us. First of all, tell us a little bit about your background since you're a new guest with us.
Okay, George. I'm a 40-year resident of San Antonio, so my roots go deep. I'm a retired financial officer and CPA from Kinetic Concepts, which was a DME founded here in San Antonio. With retirement, George, I found that, I needed to fill my life out with something meaningful after working for over 40 years. And so my passion is nonprofits. As most of your listeners know, there's a lot of abuse, patronage, inurement, where the officers and the directors and take money from the nonprofits. And then I also write exposés for various blogs like Gateway Pundit and American Thinker. I also take administrative actions against nonprofits, filing complaints with the state that where they're non-compliant, as well as with accountancy boards. And I've been successful in getting audit opinions and tax returns pulled and criminal investigations after the tax returns were pulled. So it's kind of my way as a individual to have agency. And also I am not I do it pro bono, and as well as I'm not a financial bounty hunter. So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of my background, George.
Well, tell us what you have found, particularly, since you've utilized your background. What have you found out regarding the setup that we've got here in San Antonio with the Migrant Center, the former CPS building, City Public Service Board building, as well as who's involved, what's going on, how's it being paid for, it's all that stuff.
Well, it was interesting. I was watching the news, and it got my interest. But they showed it, the CPS building, which incidentally was built in 1962 on San Pedro. And so what I did is that I under the Open Records Act, I put in a request for the city for a copy of the lease that I thought was between CPS and the city. Well, when I got the document, that wasn't the case. And the lease agreement is with KM Texas Limited, and they purchased the property for roughly $5.25 million in November 22nd of last year. So I went to the Secretary of State and ordered the legal documents behind KEM Texas and found out it was Paul S. Covey and his son, Kevin Covey. Now, according to Kevin Covey's social media account, they are initially from Monterrey, Mexico. And then the next step I did is I went to the Bexar County secretary and looked up the deed of trust. Now, this is where it gets real interesting, George, is that based on the deed of trust, which is a loan, there was a little over $1 million loan, which means that they put in over $4 million into the purchase, which I found, you know, stunning, because typically most real estate deals are very leveraged. So the question is who ponied up the $4 million? So, yeah, and so then I started looking at the lease, and the lease has a base rent of $81,800, and then they have a common area payment of $31,000 a month. So it's over $112,000 a month. So connecting the dots, the next step that I did after looking at the lease, I went and looked at Paul and Kevin's regarding the campaign financial reports and found out that they support and donate to Nuremberg. Wow. So there's a connection there. Then I went and listened to the June 23rd city council meeting and how they packaged this so that the public would never make general public comments about the migrant center on San Pedro is they stuffed it into a non-controversial way of called a consent agenda. And these are items that are typically, you know, low profile. And so what they did is they passed it with a single motion unanimously to city council. But Nuremberg made a comment in the video that it was a compassionate response to the migrants passing through our area. But, you know, you and I have been down there and others at the center, and from what I've seen, it's not compassionate towards the citizens and businesses that are on San Pedro. And, you know, in fact, what I found very disturbing, George, is I didn't see the police showing a presence on San Pedro other than in front of the migrant center.
It really is a very, very disturbing sight for people to go by, because there are so many of these aliens walking around outside the building, you know, not to mention the trash that is now accumulating. Not to mention the, you know, the potential for dangerous behavior. I just don't understand. I mean, it seems like there is this effort just to create problems in the United States now, and by the federal government, and here we've got the city and local government helping along with it.
Yeah, you know, I understand that we need to do something with an open border that does impact San Antonio and its citizens, but, you know, a better venue would have been the Freeman Coliseum, you know, which would be containing them there over there by, you know, on the southwest side. And, you know, they have large fences that wouldn't be roaming the streets. And, you know, the interesting thing is I pulled the occupancy certificate, which was temporary, a rush job, and it's over 700 people can stay in a 40,000 square foot building. And, you know, the problem is, you know, that could be very dangerous, that tight of a area where they have so up to 700 people can stay, and that's why they get restless and roam the streets. But one of the other things, George, I need to point out to your listeners is that on August the 2nd, they're going to have in front of the Zoning Commission, they have a case for the 7000 San Pedro facility, and they're non-compliant, and they want to put it into a conditional use for Human Service Campus. So any of the listeners that live in that census tract should show up and contest the you know, the zoning that they're going to put on it, or at least let their voices heard, because they couldn't be heard in front of the city council.
the you know, the situation again of how the lack of transparency in this whole situation of establishing this migrant center. The citizens and taxpayers should be very upset about it, should they not?
Oh, I think they should. Now, we did get a rather large payment for 6 months from, you know, the government from of $10.8 million. You know, and I got the details. In fact, your listeners can go to Gateway Pundit, where I wrote an article, an expose on this. But the interesting thing is under the rental and facilities, they have $2.6 million allocated for expenses in the appropriation for 6 months. But what's interesting is only $677,000 of it is for the facility on CPS. So my question is what are they doing with almost another $2 million for facilities? Are there other facilities here that we're not aware of?
Well, you know, that's a very, very good question because, you know, what role are these nonprofits playing in it that the city has organized and all this? You know, there's so many questions regarding the transportation and because we see city vehicles being utilized. So, you know, who's paying for that and how is it being paid for, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, it's a conundrum for us trying to get that transparency. You know, I've been doing some additional open requests. I've got one in for the University Health System. I want to know for the past year how many migrants that we've done in the clinics and in visits to the hospital. Also, I've noticed that we have our metropolitan services there. We have health people there. I've seen them carry people out on a gurney to go to the hospital with an ambulance. So they're definitely consuming other resources of the city.
Yep. Buddy, for time constraints, we need to close out. But tell the folks where they can follow you because obviously, and you know, what other issues you're going to be following up on.
People can reach me. I've got a LinkedIn account where I've pinned a number of my exposés, and including this one on the migrant center. It's Bob Bishop is how I've got it styled on out there on Twitter, and then on LinkedIn the same. And you can follow me on both of those. And periodically, I'll put updates probably in Twitter account that I opened up a few months ago so that people can follow it. But you're welcome to follow me, and any comments, I'll certainly answer them if you message me.
You got it. We got to get you back on the show again sometime soon so that we can chat about more lack of transparency here in San Antonio. Folks, we've been chatting with our good friend Bob Bishop. Bob, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, George. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, on KLUP 930 AM Radio, The Answer. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got a good friend of ours, Sheriff Mike Lewis from Wicomico County, Maryland, which is way on the eastern shore of the U.S. over near D.C. And I wanted to get him on because Sheriff Lewis has been very, very involved in the issue of illegal immigration and the drugs coming across, as well as the criminals. And Sheriff, thank you for taking time to be with us. Let me ask you first of all.
Pleasure, George.
Let me ask you first of all two things. We keep hearing from the Biden administration and from Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary. In fact, we heard last week that everything is under control. The border is under control. On the other hand, there was a bust in California, I believe it was, of almost 1,000 pills of fentanyl. And we're seeing fentanyl pills being are popping up in the amount of death that they are causing. Give us your thoughts. What are you seeing, and what are your fellow sheriffs saying?
You know, it's one thing for an administration is to do absolutely nothing to protect our borders, but for Mayorkas to sit in a hearing and being questioned by state and national elected officials regarding our border security and to state that our borders are secure was absolutely atrocious. I was blown away as I sat there and I watched him say that, because our borders are more porous today than they've ever been. They are more insecure today than they've ever been. We all know that without border security, we're never going to have homeland security. And we have historically, for the last 20 to 25 years, seen a major growth in the Mexican drug trafficking organizations, and they've had to resort to some very unique smuggling techniques. And as we well know, Al Chapo was the king of tunnels because he had to tunnel under the border in order to get his drugs into the United States, and we were consistently discovering these tunnels, and we ultimately extradited him deep from the Sinaloa Valley into the United States, where he stood trial in 2019. And George, as you well know, I went to Al Chapo's trial in New York City. I then went with the State Department under the Trump administration down to the Sinaloa Valley, specifically where Al Chapo had reigned for nearly three decades. Well, now, not only has Mexico maintained their level of ingenuity and craftsmanship in smuggling narcotics into the United States, but now they are openly driving it across our borders because our United States Border Patrol are so distracted dealing with illegal immigration. There is zero enforcement activity taking place in the interdiction and interception of massive amounts of fentanyl coming into the United States. Fentanyl is a synthetic form of heroin that is 50 to 100 times greater than heroin itself, and it has increased our overdoses. Now, before the Biden administration came in, we were averaging somewhere between 70 and 73,000 overdoses a year. Last year alone, in Biden's first official year in office, our overdoses rose from 70% to one. And think about this: from 70,000 overdoses on average a year, they've now risen to 107,000 overdoses last year. So that was a dramatic increase of almost 40,000 deaths, and we attribute it directly to the unfettered access of fentanyl now coming into the United States to our southwest borders. It is horrendous. It's unacceptable. And quite honestly, this administration's listening to no one.
You know, what's really amazing with that is how little publicity, how little press these fentanyl deaths are giving. I mean, you know, if you sneeze, you got to start wearing a mask. But somehow this whole situation with these number of deaths, incredible.
You know, there are so many things going on with this administration right now. People can't even begin to think about fentanyl deaths because there's so many other things that are upside down with this administration. Our country's been turned upside down. And, you know, despite the fact that I still travel the nation, I was in Los Angeles last week. I was in Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, and Las Vegas last week speaking to different law enforcement agencies about interdiction and the importance of re-engaging in the interdiction, because our U.S. Border Patrol, no longer are they intercepting these large shipments at our border. So who's left to deal with it? American law enforcement working our roadways, our highways, our interstates. So it's more prevalent today than it's ever been. And I'm part of an organization, the National Interdiction Association, and when you watch the trends of seizures that are taking place of fentanyl alone in this country, if we had seized 100 fentanyl pills 5 years ago, if you'd seized 100 fentanyl pills, it would have made national news. We are seizing literally a million fentanyl pills on one traffic stop today, and no one bats an eye. No one bats an eye, and it's killing Americans every single day.
That's amazing. That is really, really shocking. Now, when you talk to these folks, when you talk to law enforcement out there, I mean, here in South Texas, of course, we're inundated with the news of the illegal immigration and the drug trafficking, but we just don't get the idea that of the impact that it's having in the interior of the United States. What do you hear from these folks in like Nebraska and other places that you go speak to?
Let me tell you this, my friend. Everybody is blown away that we finally have reached this point. Not one of us thought that we would ever see the day when we had the Mexican drug trafficking cartels not only dominating the North American drug trade, but they're doing it with complete impunity. complete impunity. And I reached out to a dear friend of mine the other day who is a Texas trooper. They are working mandatory 12-hour shifts, 7 days straight, 12-hour shifts. They are exhausted. They are demoralized. And I had called him specifically because I had a North Carolina sheriff's deputy, a former trooper, who wanted to go down and volunteer his time in services with the Texas DPS. So I had been teaching six Texas troopers in Omaha, Nebraska, who were there as part of a large conference. And there were six Texas troopers there. And so I ended up reaching out to a dear friend of mine who was working at that time. And he told me in the last 12 hours alone, he had dealt with three separate deaths. All, by the way, died from heat exhaustion trying to get into the United States. And they found them deeply concealed in the bushes along the U.S.-Mexican border. Now, all three of those individuals were pronounced deceased inside of the United States, but they had died trying to enter the country because right now the borders are flooded. The Border Patrol are spread so thinly, and their resources are exhausted. We can no longer save lives. We are simply picking up the bodies along the border as they're coming to the United States. Now, as you well know, George, last year I talked about being at the border during a 13-day period. We had apprehended 67,000 illegals during a 13-day period, and we believe another 100,000 got away. Well, as you well know, today they are making approximately 200,000 to 220,000 apprehensions a month. So it's the worst we've ever seen it. No one has seen it like this. And for Mayorkas to say that our borders are secure is a flat out lie to the American people. It's unbelievable that he could even say that with a straight face. But I watched him do it, and I know you watched him do it. It's just very reflective of this current administration. It's nothing but lies.
It is. I mean, the latest one is that we're not in a recession.
Oh, my God.
So, oh, my gosh. Sheriff Lewis, thank you very, very much. Let me, let's close out. Let me just let you, give us your closing thoughts. Give us your thoughts. Where are we headed? What's going to happen? What do we need to do?
I want the American people to know this. I've been in law enforcement 38 and a half years. I've never seen drug trafficking this bad in my entire professional career in 38 and a half years. The number, I just looked at a heroin overdose report that came in just from within my region, and I'm looking at how the overdoses had skyrocketed. And fentanyl is the number one killer of our people today. It's fentanyl. Why? Because it's coming across our southwest border with complete impunity. We have a federal government who has absolutely turned their backs on the American people. They've turned their backs on the ranches and the ranchers that board our entire U.S.-Mexico border. They've turned their backs on the ranchers. They've turned their backs on the farmers. And now the American people, all 50 states are now border states, because what crosses that southwest border today? What crosses that southwest border today is in my backyard tomorrow. You can rest assured this country is in trouble. And if we don't get people motivated and empowered to go to the voting polls this November, this country's doomed. I don't see how we're ever going to recover from the damage that's been done in the last 18 to 20 months alone since Biden has taken office, but we do know one thing. We can no longer sit back and watch this occur. We've got to take action, and right now the only way to do so is to get to the voting polls in December. We've got to take back our nation. We've got to protect America now.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very, very much. Folks, we've been listening to our good friend Sheriff Mike Lewis from Wicomico County, Maryland, and we got to get you back on the show again, my friend.
George, I'll come on anytime you want, my friend, because I believe in you, I believe in your message, and I want our listeners to know we have a lot of people out here that are absolutely disgusted with what's going on in this country, and we are determined to take our country back, and we've got to, come hell or high water.
You got it, buddy. Have a good rest of the week, and be safe, please.
Thank you, George.
Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez.
See you, my friend.
You got it. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Once again, my friends, I want to thank everyone for joining us and tuning in. Our program, my friends, is it really, really needs and We need your sponsorship. We are one of the few radio programs in the state and probably in the nation that deals specifically with the issue of illegal immigration, and we bring you great guests, folks that are on the spot and are telling and can tell you exactly what is happening at the front lines right here at the border, as well as in Washington, D.C., with the policymakers. I really, really want to encourage you to tell your friends. And when we post, to tell your friends about our show, and then when we post the program, my friends, I would also encourage you to copy it and to copy the link and share it with people. Let people know what is happening on our front, at our border. Because, my friends, so many times we hear people, well, I didn't know that it was that bad. It is that bad and worse. Let me assure you, it is that bad and worse. The poor folks that we have run into here in San Antonio that I've been interviewing lately are individuals who are absolutely suffering from being misled. They are suffering because they have been misled. They have been told that the border is open and that they're going to be able to stay in the United States. They are not. They're asking for political asylum, but they are not political refugees, my friends. They're economic refugees. They are poor people, and we feel for poor people. But, my friends, we can't let every poor person in the world into the United States. I mean, that would be everybody. However, to a government, or should I say to a political party, like the Democrats, who have become socialists, letting people in is to them good because they are destabilizing the society, the economy. What are we going to do with all these folks? How the heck are we ever going to be able to round them up and remove them, even when they are declared illegal aliens? You know, it's going to be, I mean, my friends, one of my best friends, Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies, has a great way of asking, how are we ever going to put the genie back in? And I don't think we're going to be able to. I think our country has been altered completely and totally. And the only thing we can hope for is that these people become Americans, that they treasure America. So, folks, thank you for joining us today. I hope that you will join us again next week. I hope that you will share the program with others. Until next time, this is George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.